Welcome, everyone. Episode 242 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to continue with our NBA free agency preview. On Tuesday, we hit the big name guys, so we're going to give a couple quick updates based on the latest news and rumors, and then we're going to go into the potentially non-max guys that you should still expect to get paid pretty well this summer. Before we get into all of that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. It would really help us out. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well. I'm surviving the very, very hot Danish weather and the general heat wave that's spreading across Europe right now. Hey, Brian. Global warming isn't a thing, apparently.
I agree. Yeah. Total farce. Made up by the Chinese.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. So, to distract yourself from the sweltering heat, Mort, I know we talked about Jimmy Butler on Tuesday in our last episode, but we need to at least address this whole sign-and-trade notion that's come out, naturally, because this is how things work in free agency. Right after we stopped recording on Tuesday, Woj came out with this whole story about, Houston is trying to pitch both Jimmy and the Sixers on the idea of a sign-and-trade. Houston is way over the salary cap, and unless they can somehow dump Chris Paul into cap space, even if they traded every single player aside from Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler and James Harden, they still could not sign Jimmy Butler outright. So a sign-and-trade is the only way this can happen. Now, I wrote a primer on Forbes going into the nitty-gritty of this, so check that out, because I don't want to bore you with base year compensation and all of that, but the TLDR version is, except in a very limited circumstance where the Sixers would not be over the salary cap after they re-sign Jimmy, if they're over the cap and he's getting the max, it cannot be a two-team deal. There's just no way to make it work salary matching-wise.
Correct.
So they're going to have to get a third team involved, and frankly, they would have anyway. Because if you're pitching the Sixers on Capella and Gordon, Capella is a great player, but this, Joel Embiid, they have a center, they have a guy who's going to play hopefully 30 plus minutes a night. They're not going to pay a backup $18 million or whatever.
Oh, so, you don't want to go super big?
I mean, I do, but not with two centers, preferably. So the whole thing is contingent upon finding a third team for Capella, which I do not think would be hard. And then it really comes down to what can you get back for Capella to the Sixers. So,
I don't think that would be hard. That would be the easiest thing ever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think so. But then it comes down to what do the Sixers want. Woj on Wednesday reported the Rockets are shopping each of those guys individually, Gordon, Capella, Tucker, for the best available first-round pick, which I thought was interesting. So, first of all, if you're the Sixers, are you at all amenable to this deal, or do you tell Daryl Morey to go F himself and, if Jimmy's leaving, that's fine. We just want the cap space instead.
Well, how much cap space would you have if Jimmy left?
The most they can make is $38.5 million. And that's assuming Tobias Harris's cap hold. He has a $22.2 million cap hold. That's assuming that stays on the books. They would still have 38.5 to play around with, and they would re-sign Tobias.
Yeah. Tobias afterwards. Yeah, yep. Yeah. All right, so there are two answers to that, I feel. One is if you have another max-type player lined up, then who makes sense, obviously, then fine. Like a Chris Middleton, I know he's not going to leave Milwaukee, but if he's available because of his shooting ability and his comparable defense, at least somewhat, to Jimmy, then you're fine doing it. Mm-hmm. Or you could actually go the other route and say, well, if we are willing to let Jimmy walk, and then we have almost $40 million to play around with, that could actually create a significantly deep team that we can just build around. Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. We can get a ton of shooters in off the bench, or we can re-sign Redick, no issues. We can do all sorts of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, it's not Jimmy Butler. And the ceiling of Jimmy Butler, in my opinion, will beat out virtually every scenario that you can find.
Yeah.
Now, The question to me is, what type of Jimmy is going to show up for the Sixers over the next couple of years? Is it this fourth option Jimmy Butler? Is it the third option Jimmy Butler? Or is it the guy who stepped up in the final, you know, 10, 15 games of the regular season and took over, you know, more and more in the playoffs and really reminded us all of how great he is? If that's the guy, hell no, I'm sticking with Jimmy as far as, you know, at least as far as I can. If he's not interested in returning, there's not much I can do. But if he is, I'm putting all my chips into that. So there are a lot of nuance to this. But I think the most important thing is this. If Jimmy is hell-bent on leaving for Houston, why not get something in return if you don't have someone else lined up? Or if you don't have a plan with that additional cap space?
Right.
Like, and for the Rockets especially, like, they almost have to hope that there is a suitor somewhere else for Jimmy. Otherwise, you know, Philadelphia wouldn't be inclined to do anything. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. You need the threat of a third team that can sign him into cap space, because then Jimmy can say, fine, if you don't sign and trade me to Houston, I'm going to go just sign with the Clippers and you're going to get nothing.
Right. And that doesn't help Houston necessarily if that's the course of action, but it does help them in the sense that they can then go to Philly and say, hey, we can give you something in return so you don't lose him for nothing. And honestly, even if the return is Clint Capella, like, Philly can flip him. Like, that's not, you know, Capella doesn't need to be on the opening day roster. And he's got significant value. So if you don't find a third team immediately, you could take on Capella. And then, as, you know, being in Philadelphia, you can try to flip him for something else.
Well, the issue then becomes Jimmy can't take a full max, because you still can't match the salaries in a straight two-team deal.
Right, because of the base year compensation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, the TLDR version is Houston needs to send out about $26.1 million if Jimmy gets a max. Philly can only take back $25.7 million. So it's not a huge gap, but it would mean if it's a straight two-team deal, he would have to take slightly less than the max. Or if Tobias leaves, then that opens the door.
Oh, so wait a second. So I might have gotten this wrong. So if Eric Gordon was traded to a third team, the Sixers still could not take on Capella?
Right.
Wow, okay. I actually didn't know that. I thought you could split them.
No. If there are three... Yeah, if there's a third team involved, it would be fine. As long as Houston is sending out a net of at least $26.1 million and Philly is receiving no more than $25.7 million in return. So, like, the ideal trade, or not necessarily ideal, but, you know, if I'm Philly, the thing I'm looking for, like, the part about them looking for a first-round pick worries me, A, because they have no idea how to use first-round picks. They'll probably just sell it the next year anyway. But I would think you would want two rotation players, ideally, because depth was such a big issue. And realistically, you're probably, if you can get a guy on an affordable contract, you might not be able to do better than that in free agency this summer anyway. So, you know, one possible deal would be Butler to Houston, Eric Gordon to Philly, Capella to Sacramento, and then Bogdan Bogdanovic to Philly, throw in some picks as well. That is cap legal, and that gives Philly, you know, it rounds out the depth a little bit, gives them two actual rotation players. So there are plenty of ways to make the deal work. It's just, it really does come down to, you know, what can they get for Capella? Because I think that would have to happen right away. I don't think, even if like you figure out a way to make the salaries match, or if Philly's under the cap, I don't think they would want to take Capella back and then have to shop him. I think, because then, you know, every team knows you're not keeping this guy and they'll lowball like crazy. So I think it needs to be a three-team deal for that reason, beyond just the salary matching component of it.
Right. But, I mean, I'm just saying, in terms of not getting a return, and if there is a third team and Jimmy leaves for nothing, then you're effectively then choosing cap space over Capella, which to some extent I get. But what if you don't get someone who is of equal value, or you don't get the amount of quality of depth that you're looking for? I think there is some risk here.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's not an easy solution either way. I mean, I think Eric Gordon at $14 million is a pretty good value. I think it would be tough to beat that this summer, but who's to say a Jeremy Lamb or a Terrence Ross isn't available for less? And if they are, which do you prioritize?
Mm. And by the way, just to bring up Capella Steele here, like, that's a friendly one when you consider his production and his age. Like, this season, or the season we're going to enter here momentarily, just under $16.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The year after, $17.5 million. In 2021, 2022, goes to $18.5 million, and then 2022, 2023, it's $19.5 million. Like, that's a very, very team-friendly deal as well. So I think moving him to a team that might be looking at a long-term progress would be able to slot him in at the center slot, knowing full well, oh, we got great value. So he's definitely movable. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are enough teams. The ones that immediately jumped to mind were Atlanta, Sacramento, Dallas, the Clippers, Boston. We'll get to Boston in a second. But those five all have need at center. He's only 25. I mean, he's still really young. He's, like, yes, he's not a stretch five, but you know, he averaged 16 and 12 this past season. He's really good. He fits into a role, and he knows he plays his role well. Like, the Warriors abused him in the playoffs, yes, but the Warriors aren't going to be the Warriors next season, so you don't have to necessarily worry about that. I think against most teams, he is a very useful center, and as you said, it's not a reasonable contract. I'd frankly rather be paying his contract than a Steven Adams right now, who's averaging $25 million.
Yeah, for sure. And here's the thing about Capella as well. He's improving every year. So this season, he upped his volume. But I think the most intriguing prospect of him was he went from playing, you know, sub-starting minutes. He was playing 27.5 minutes and then really chalked up to 33.6 minutes this year.
Right.
Usually when big guys who are young get a significant increase in minutes, you know, sometimes they stagnate and they kind of keep that same average. They don't produce at that high level. He did. Mm-hmm. He was able to actually take on the larger minute burden and go, well, you know what? I'm going to have to produce throughout more minutes. My conditioning is right, and I'm ready to do that. He improved as a passer. His rebounding was high. He had a career high in free throw percentage as well, which is always good to see progress from a big man.
Yeah,
I mean, he is a guy who you can rely on now for, at the very least, at the very minimum, 32 minutes a night at the center spot. Which is a tremendous asset to have, because most centers in today's league, especially those who are offensive-oriented, they play like max 20 minutes. Here you have a guy who can slot in and play a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think there should be a market for him. It's just, I would not...
I love Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas would be great.
They just don't have anything to offer, really.
Right, that's the problem. I think Sacramento is a pretty reasonable... They have a lot of cap space, so they can just absorb him in there. They have bunch of young guys. They run at a really fast pace.
Right.
They fit really well. Him and Fox would be dynamic.
And they wouldn't have to overpay Nikola Vucevic.
Right. Or Al Horford.
Or Al Horford. And I like Al. That's not and I also like Vuce for that matter. It's just, like, when you look at Capella's contract, it's just so much better than what the theory is about what Vuce is going to get and what Al Horford is going to get.
Yeah, we'll talk about both of those guys in a little bit. But yeah, I have a piece going up, I think, today at the Basketball Writers about the Kings in particular, and kind of they're the wild card of free agency is the whole point of the article, is because they, now that Harrison Barnes opted out, they can carve out to $62.6 million in cap space, and no one's really talking about them because they're the Kings. You know, all the focus is on the New York teams and the Los Angeles teams and Boston now. But the Kings are lurking there. Like, I don't think they're going to get a max guy necessarily, or, you know, one of the top tier free agents. They might get a max guy, but that's not good if they do.
Right.
But, you know, like, they'll overpay someone to be a max guy, in other words. But they are in position where they could take on a Clint Capella or a Steven Adams or someone like that, you know, absorb those guys into cap space and not have to send out all that much, because whichever teams are sending them out are doing it, in OKC's case, for salary cap relief, or in Houston's case, to facilitate this sign and trade idea. So the Kings can be very opportunistic this summer, and, you know, they weren't bad last year. They were 39 and 43. They could legit be a playoff team if they handle these next few weeks well. So, yeah, I don't know when that piece is going live, but when it does, go to bballwriters.com. You can use the code THENBAPOD for 10% off your daily, monthly, or annual subscription there.
You know who I think the Kings will go after? Brogdon. Because last year, they signed LaVine to an offer sheet. Chicago matched.
Yeah.
And they knew, you know, they had Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox there.
Yeah.
Like, they just wanted more shooting and more scoring from the guard spot.
It's possible. Oh.
I kind of see it, though.
That's a lot of money to pay for a guy who's going to be a... Because you can't play Fox, Hield, and Brogdon together.
I think you can. I think you may be able to, because Brogdon's long.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I think people get caught up in the height problem. Like, he's 6'5".
Right.
And he's got, like, a 6'11", maybe even 7-foot wingspan. Oof. And he can play off the ball. I mean, I'm not saying it's a perfect fit, but...
Right.
I mean, I'd be intrigued.
Yeah. They're going to do something that we aren't expecting. I'm 100% confident of that. And I'm
like
worried,
Jabari Parker?
No, I'm worried it's Wiggins. I really think it might be Wiggins.
Well, I mean, they did need a wing.
I know. Yeah.
So what? Their idea is to pair... I mean, the thing is, we heard that they were interested in keeping Harrison Barnes.
Right.
Like, they may have some deals lurking. Yeah. So, I'm just asking here, did you have Wiggins in mind, like, to pair with Barnes or as a Barnes replacement?
Hopefully as a Barnes replacement, because I really don't want them to just be a nonstop Spider-Man meme of Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's move on to Boston now, because they are Charlotte, really, because yesterday, multiple reports came out that said there's a gulf in negotiations between Kemba Walker and the Charlotte Hornets, and now that the Boston Celtics are the front runners to sign him, possibly as early, or at least, you know, get a commitment from him, possibly as early as Sunday. Stephen A. Smith came out with a report, and again, it's Stephen A. Smith, so take that for what it's worth, but he said right now, the Hornets are offering Kemba 5 years, $160 million. If that is true, they need to just disband the franchise. Just send them to Seattle, man. I'm serious. That's ridiculous.
Like Charlotte, of course. Yeah.
It just... You overpay his entire supporting cast, and now the time comes to pay the guy, your one guy who's actually good, and you lowball him?
I get it, but at the same time, weren't you one of the guys who said on this very podcast a couple months back that, I don't know, man, I think they should consider going the different route, because if you lock up Kemba, you're screwed. Like, your finances are just in disarray.
I said don't give him the supermax, but there's a big gulf between 160 and 220.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Absolutely.
What are they going to do? Here's the thing. If they were planning to do this the whole time, and maybe the whole Supermax thing threw them for a loop, because if you offer him 160 and his max is 190, that doesn't sound as insulting. Right. But when he becomes eligible for the Supermax, you probably had to get close to the normal max, which is five, a little less than 190, to be in the conversation. Because your only argument is you like it in Charlotte, and we can offer more money for you. There is no competitive advantage to staying in Charlotte. They've made the playoffs twice since they've gotten him. They lost in the first round both times. We've talked multiple times. Their books are in disarray this upcoming year. And even after this year, Biombo, Williams, MKG all come off the books. They're still paying Nick Batum $27 million unless, by the grace of God, he opts out of his player option, which he is not going to do.
Yeah, no, that would be silly of him.
Right. So they're stuck for the next 2 years, effectively. So it's, you know, you're just asking Kemba to throw away the rest of his prime, which is fine. Like, if he's happy in Charlotte and he wants to make a lot of money, that's cool. No one should begrudge him for that. But you have to give him the money. If you're, I mean, 5-160, other teams can offer 4-140. So you're telling Kemba that fifth year, you're not going to make $20 million when the salary cap at that point is probably going to be close to 130, 140.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's, I really hope the report is wrong, because if you were going to lowball him this whole time, you should have traded him. Yeah. Yeah. You had to know. You had to know that he would be like, excuse me? You, how much are you giving me? No, I'm, F that, I'm leaving.
And again, this is the issue with the Supermax. Because
right.
I love Kemba. He's not a Supermax player.
No.
You could even make the argument. You could even make the argument
right.
that he's not a max player.
Like, I would make that argument. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of what a max player should be.
Right. I mean, how many times have we said it? And we will continue to say it a lot over the coming weeks, I think.
Oh, yeah.
There are too many guys who earn max or who are paid max money.
And who will get paid max money this very summer. Hello, right. Chris Middleton, who I love, and Tobias right. Harris, who I also love, but at the same time, like, no, dude.
Yeah. If you're a fringe top 20 player, you should not be getting a max contract.
Right. That, like, I mean, Malcolm Brogdon is going to be looking, not at a max, but he's probably going to be looking at a payday of $23 million a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. It only takes one team.
Exactly.
And when you have, this is a summer where, you know, the Knicks have $70 million in space and just traded Kristaps Porzingis to clear out more space. And now it looks like they might miss on everyone. So they could be reckless.
Are you saying that missing out on everyone includes getting Terry Rozier? Come on.
And DeMarcus Cousins.
And DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So at the Basketball Writers on Monday, I put up a piece about the Knicks' plan B. Shockingly, neither Cousins nor Rozier appeared in my piece. I said they should operate, they should just pretend to be a small market team and take back bad salary for a year or two. Accumulate more assets. They have some intriguing young pieces in Barrett and Mitchell Robinson in particular. Just pretend you're like the Utah Jazz. Pretend you're not the Knicks for 1 year and that you can't lure a superstar free agent, because clearly, even though you had a layup with Kevin Durant for most of the year, weird stuff happens and the best laid plans in free agency go awry, unless you're the Lakers and you just fall ass backwards into everything breaking your way despite incompetent management.
Look, in Hollywood, there's a saying, you fail upwards. That just makes sense.
Correct. I think we are seeing that in action right now.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, so Charlotte, I really hope that this is a negotiating ploy from his agent, and it very well could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this pushes Charlotte up to like 5-180 and they keep him and that's fine. But if they don't, if they really stand pat at 5-160, I hope Kemba leaves and they deserved all of the bad things that are coming their way. Let's talk about how he would fit in Boston, though. Because
he's not Kyrie.
Right.
I mean, that is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time.
Yeah, like the chemistry issues that befell them this past season, and Jackie McMullen just released another piece today about, you know, was it all Kyrie? No, not necessarily. Kyrie didn't help, but, you know, as we saw, the young guys who went on the run in 2017-18 in those playoffs thought they deserved bigger roles.
Mm-hmm.
They did, frankly. Like, they performed well. They deserved bigger roles. They just weren't there because you had to reacclimate Irving and Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward's recovery was slow. Al Horford apparently, like, refused to call out Kyrie on his nonsense. It was just a bad mix of personalities. Now, Irving, it seems like, is certain to leave. Horford seems very likely to leave. You still have a nice young nucleus in Tatum and Brown and Smart. You still have Hayward. Now he's a full year, almost 2 years removed from the injury. Hopefully he gets back to his old form. So they have a nice little core. Do you think they should go in? I mean, they can make a max spot for Kemba, but that is basically all of their cap space to have the room exception after that, and then just minimum deals. Do you think that's the best way they use their space?
No, and not if they're going to bet on the future with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, because then now it becomes Kemba's team. Yeah. And here's the thing. Kemba is not bad at all. Like, he will help them, and if Gordon Hayward returns to, you know, some semblance of what he used to be, that's huge. However, I mean, if you're going to be banking on a guy who's like 21 and 22 moving forward, I could see better options being made with that, you know, with that space.
Right.
You know, maybe getting some additional draft picks by taking on bad deals. I know that's usually the play of a rebuilding team in Boston, is rebuilding, but their treasure trove isn't as filled as it used to be. Right. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they need to actually get some more future assets in there to accommodate, you know, both Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, they have the Memphis pick. It's top six protected now, I believe, but that's it. I mean, this year's draft was their big, you know, the one where they had three or four first-round picks. This was the haul, and now those picks have names, and they are Romeo Langford and Grant Williams, and they traded the third one.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. Those two guys, they definitely have upside,
right,
but this draft was not a star-heavy draft later in the first round.
Right.
So these guys presumably will top out as, you know, maybe decent starters, which would be a huge get, but they might also top out as just rotational players.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't know. Like, it's fine additions. You just need a little bit more. And Kemba is just going to be... I mean, he's going to be too good for them, in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he could lead them to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you also have to gauge, like, oh, the Eastern Conference Finals, that's not bad. Could he potentially take us further than that?
Right.
Because that is still the name of the game. And if they can make a finals run, I mean, who knows what happens?
Yeah, see, I'm not convinced. I mean, I guess it would depend on who they signed with the room mid-level. But I'm just not convinced they would be a top three seed in the East.
No, neither am I, but if they are, if that's their logic, then that's the way they're going to dictate their decisions this summer.
Right, for sure. I mean, so Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report wrote this about the Lakers. You know, kind of, so the Lakers have created a max spot now because they traded Bongo, Wagner, and Jamario Jones to the Wizards.
Great deal by the Wizards, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, stellar deal for the Wizards. I don't know why the Pelicans agreed, unless it was pre-negotiated. Like, when they agreed to the Anthony Davis deal, they said, fine, if you find a third team, whatever. That's fine. Because they only got $1.1 million. And it, you know, you're giving the Lakers an extra $9 million in cap space, effectively. Or $5 million, because Davis waived his trade kicker. But still, like... that is the difference for a Pelicans team that is heavily invested in the Lakers failing, especially, you know, in the early 2020s when they owned just all of their picks and pick swaps and stuff. You would think you would want to limit their ability to build out a competent team around them, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, to play devil's advocate, maybe they know who the Lakers are going to target. Maybe it ends up being someone who is fairly old, and I'm not saying he's not going to be, you know, good in a couple of years, but Jimmy Butler is going to turn 30.
Yeah.
Like, when you know, 2022 rolls around, he's going to be closing in on 33.
That is a fair point. Yeah.
So, and LeBron at that point, I know he's a cyborg, but you have to assume at that stage.
Right. At some point, he'll age.
Yeah, right? And you know, Anthony Davis is at that point in his absolute prime, like 29.
Yeah.
And will probably be one of the primary stars in this league. But he'll look around and see, like, both LeBron and Jimmy Butler, like, getting, you know, liquid oxygen or whatever, like, just
right.
on the sideline and going, hey, I need something else. I need youth.
Yeah. Well, so... Pincus wrote this thing about the Lakers and how they can... does it make more sense for them to go after a third star, or should they divvy up their cap space? Now, I don't think this would work necessarily for the Celtics like it would for the Lakers, but his whole idea for the Lakers was you would split the cap space and you can load contracts with incentives up to 15% of the total value. So you can sign D'Angelo Russell at $20 million, give him $3 million of incentives, make them unlikely so they don't count against the cap. Like for the Lakers, the you could say make the playoffs is unlikely because they didn't this past season, so they could effectively give him a $23 million contract at the price of $20 million. Now, since the Celtics did make the playoffs last year, you couldn't necessarily do that, but still find, make the Eastern Conference Finals, make the Finals, whatever. Load it with those types of incentives, and you can stretch your cap room a little more. So, yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to think they would be better suited divvying it up instead of spending it all on one player. Like, I don't necessarily think that adding Kemba and then spending the room mid-level on a center and going veteran minimums the rest of the way. I don't know that that team is a real finals threat, but it'd be interesting. I don't blame them for wanting to try it.
Yeah, and really, at the end of the day, during free agency, like teams are going to do what they believe. Yeah. I mean, we can sit here and talk about what we deem rational, but if a team comes in with a different perspective on a situation that we do, and some will absolutely have different point of views than us, mm-hmm. Then they're going to be hell-bent on doing what they think is right. I mean, last year, the Bulls thought signing Jabari Parker was right.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone in the world knew it wouldn't work, but right. They were hell-bent on it, and that's just an example.
Right.
Like, teams will do what they believe is the strongest play for their franchise.
Yeah.
And sure. Boston... And is Danny Ainge, specifically, especially I should say, is one of those guys who loves to compete, and mm-hmm. he loves to have youngsters waiting in the wings. He loves to play both sides of the field. Like he wants to be in player development, and he also wants to be in a win now situation. Signing Kemba actually kind of succeeds in that. Like he gets a win now player that he can add to Gordon Hayward, who despite the injury is still a win now player, and then you still have Tatum and Brown who are win later players.
Right.
Right. I mean, so from a Danny Ainge perspective, this makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Mort, let's go rapid fire now for the rest of our time today. We're going to hit on the potentially non-max guys, with one exception. I guess let's start with Middleton. We kind of addressed him last time. We figured he's going to stay in Milwaukee. I think he's probably going to get a five-year max, right?
I think so. It sure sounds like that, and I would hope that that's not the case for the Bucks because I kind of like Giannis and I kind of like what they're doing, and I don't want to see them keep getting too handcuffed financially.
Right.
And if you re-sign Middleton to a max, and you end up re-signing Brogdon as well to $23 million a year,
mm-hmm.
woof.
Yeah. Well,
not great.
You know, at that point, it's just how much luxury tax are the owners willing to pay. But, yeah, I mean, maybe you can talk him into giving you a slight discount, a slight hometown discount. But either way, I don't think there's any real risk of him leaving Milwaukee. We haven't heard anything on that front, at least. And based on all of the other free agents who have been linked to, 15 different teams at this point, I think the fact you aren't hearing any chatter, you're even hearing stuff about Klay Thompson, who is not at all a real threat to leave the Warriors. The fact that, Middleton's agent isn't trying to strong-arm the Bucks into giving the five-year max by saying, oh, he's going to take meetings with 16 different teams.
Yeah.
Probably a good sign for them. So I think he's staying at a max or near max. Al Horford. Did not expect him to decline the player option in the first place.
I had a feeling.
I mean, it makes sense if he wants the long-term security, but I figured if he declined it, he would just be going back to Boston on a three-year deal, like a three-year $60 million deal or something. Mark Stein says he's got a four-year deal worth $112 million waiting out there.
Yeah, who do you from think a that mystery team. I love that.
And he's so far has supposedly ruled out Dallas and New Orleans. So who do you think the mystery team is?
Probably the Kings.
I'm worried about that, but I hope it's the Clippers. Like, if the Clippers get Kawhi, there mm-hmm. is a world in which they could get Kawhi, sign Horford, not quite to that much money, but pretty close, and still keep Danilo Gallinari And that team, I think, enters next season as the finals favorite.
Right. So, but here's the thing, though. For them to sign Horford, they would more or less need a guarantee that Kawhi's coming.
Right.
Kawhi so far has shown no indication of that. The media has shown no indication of that.
Yeah.
So, it's, I don't know. I get your idea here, and I like it on paper if it turns out that way. I just don't know. I don't think it's them.
Yeah.
Could it be the Knicks?
Oh, God. I mean,
the money's available there.
Yeah. The Knicks we'll get to when we talk about Cousins, but I just don't get why. Like, you're right now, not counting Barrett, your best prospect is a center. Why are you pursuing centers?
It's the Knicks.
I know. It's dumb. But yeah, that's one of the things I'm most excited to see in the first couple days of free agency is who this mystery team is. Like, the Pelicans make sense to some extent, but that's all of their cap space basically, and he is very much not in line age-wise. That's my concern with the Kings too. Like, Horford would be a great fit on court there, but he's 10 years older than most. Well, I guess not Buddy Hield. But he's 10 years older than De'Aaron Fox, or even older than that. And, you know, he started to show some signs of decline in the regular season last year. He got back into form by the playoffs, but you have to wonder how that a four-year deal for him is just going to age.
From a dollars and cents part, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Whoever does it.
Right. Vucevic is in a similar boat in that all of the usual suspects could overpay him. We really haven't heard much on the in the rumor front for him. Where do you think he ends up?
Again, I mean, that could easily be the Kings as well.
I know.
I mean,
yeah.
Because of their lack of center there, assuming Willie Cauley-Stein moves on and his agent has more or less banked them.
Yes, those bridges got burned, torched, nuked. That relationship is over.
Yeah, I think so too. So they're definitely going to be looking at a center. And given their success from this season, I could only imagine that center is their biggest concern right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Vooch would come in and actually be pretty good in Sacramento, I think. He's a great passer. He's a great rebounder. He can shoot the ball. We saw his scoring ability just rise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could incorporate him as kind of a high-low guy, a guy who like throws a lot of elbow passes, like handoffs. I think there's a lot of things he can do in that Kings offense, especially because they love to run. He can just be the trail guy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you could even insert like a 7 seconds or Vooch system.
Right. Yeah, that's my concern with Vooch. And I wrote about him in this TBW piece about him and Horford and kind of really the whole center dilemma for the Kings. Is that they could go after one of the big name guys, but Horford doesn't fit super well because of age. Vooch is 29, so he's not as old, but he's also coming. The Magic were the 7th slowest team in terms of pace last year. The Kings were the 3rd fastest, so I do wonder how he holds up in a much more fast-paced system. He was better defensively last year than he ever has been before, but...
Correct.
I also do wonder, like, the career year phenomenon or the contract year phenomenon, does he kind of start to regress back to his career mean after inking a gigantic deal? So I wouldn't hate it, but I do feel like the Kings have better options. It wouldn't shock me if he's back in Orlando.
I mean, Orlando made it a priority.
Yeah.
They've made Vooch a priority, and it's because they made the playoffs. They finally have an all-star for the first time in ages, it feels like.
Right.
They want to build a brand.
Yeah.
They want to build some hype around that organization, and I understand why, because they've been irrelevant for so long.
Right.
So just basically retaining Vooch is also a sign for to the rest of the league, you know, we can take care of our own. We can actually make this happen. So come here and get paid and play in Orlando.
In which case, Mo Bamba should be very gettable for someone.
Yeah, about that, I mean, this is one of those guys I could totally see be traded for this year as a buy low guy.
Yep.
He'll just explode somewhere else. Like, a smart team out there should absolutely be trying to get this guy.
Yeah, if they re-sign Vooch, smart team should... The vultures should start circling on Orlando for Bamba.
And you know who one of those teams should be? We just talked about them, the Celtics. The Kings? Because he would align so well with Tatum and Brown's age.
Ooh. Yeah, that's true. Wow. Yeah, that would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Brook Lopez, we talked about him a little bit last time. Yeah, I think he's back with the Bucks too.
Yeah.
That Snell trade sent a very strong signal that they are trying to clear as much cap room as possible to keep him.
So I saw a lot of people argue on Twitter that the Snell trade, because it was financially driven, that this was Milwaukee trying to save money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, like, trying to duck the tax.
No, like, they are just trying to keep their guys. I mean, Snell is not a permanent rotational player. And he was earning $11 million a year. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was smart.
Yes. It was. They were otherwise going to be limited at best to the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is $9.25 million, possibly even the taxpayer, which is 5.7. Now, I believe if they keep Brogdon and Middleton, their cap holds on the books because they're both really cheap. Middleton's like 19.5. Brogdon is way, way low.
Yeah, yeah.
They can give Brook, I think, up to like $14 million, which is, you know, much more competitive than he's probably going to get a bigger offer elsewhere still. But now, at least if it's 14 versus, you know, 17 or 18 instead of 9 versus 17 or 18, you can pitch him on. We just made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, we're only going to get better. Come back. This is, you know, you'll go on deep playoff runs every year. He's going back to Milwaukee, but New Orleans would be a fun destination for him if he does get a little wandering eye.
Hmm. I mean, you brought up Horford to New Orleans earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that to me would be the funnest because he would act much more like a mentor. Like, Brook would come in and just swish threes. And, like, he's a positive player in the locker room, undoubtedly. But Horford is that one guy who can unlock a lot of stuff because he's just such a great passer. And, like, he's the way he, you know, just surveys the floor and initiates the offense and whatnot. So that would be fun.
Yeah.
But, like, Brook, I just don't see a scenario where he's not back with the Bucks. Right. He'd love playing with Giannis. Like, he talked about Giannis all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. DeMarcus Cousins. This is one of the hardest ones to predict, both in terms of where he ends up and how much money he gets.
Oh, the Kings need a center.
Right? That would be really funny. I wouldn't hate it.
No, no, of course not. Me neither. But, I mean, I think those bridges have been burned.
Yes, yes, I think so as well. I mean, the Pelicans would be interesting there, too.
A return there, yeah, but without AD.
Yeah, but Zion. Think about Zion, for sure. Boogie.
But he's on a different timeline, though. Like, yeah, he's not looking at Zion and going, oh, that's fantastic. I mean, we have to acknowledge that the in-prime NBA players, they don't care about the rookies. They don't care about the sophomores.
Yeah.
They care about the players who have been in their own draft class plus minus 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of looks at AD and maybe goes, is there room for me in LA?
I agree. I think that's the one that just stands out. Because, you know, there were quotes from both of those guys afterward. When AD, I think it was in November, was basically saying, like, you know, I hope the Pelicans can get him back this coming summer. Mm-hmm. And then Boogie was like, yeah, man, I think about our partnership all the time. It's effed up that we got broken up. You know, you never know what happens down the line. I definitely think those guys have talked about playing together again.
Yeah. And to be fair, they were good together. I know that, the Pelicans didn't win as much. But, I mean, it was those two and Drew Holiday, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Boogie averaged like 25, 12, and 5 before he went down. He was having a monster season.
And 2 threes a game as well. And he was, I mean, he would just allow AD so much space. Obviously, this is not the same DeMarcus Cousins. We need to recognize that.
Right.
But he can still drain threes. For sure. And he can still score in the post. So there's some of it left. Like, his game was never relied upon in terms of athleticism. So, I wouldn't hate it. The thing is, though, defensively, he might be run off the floor.
Well, we saw that in the playoffs this year.
Exactly. And yeah. I don't think that's going to get a lot better. Like, even before the Achilles injury, he wasn't quick.
Right, right. Yeah, that's definitely the concern. But
right, and he would take up a significant chunk. Like, he wouldn't come in as a minimum player.
Oh, see, that's what I'm wondering. Maybe, does he take, like, the room exception for them, or would he take, like, a one-year deal, like a one-plus-one deal for $10 million just to go back with AD and LeBron?
But, like, no, but even if he does, I mean, my point is, he's not going to come cheaply to the point where you can sort of use him as a wild card. If yeah. he signs for $10 million, like, that's a significant chunk of your cap space if you're the Lakers.
Yeah.
Meaning you have to play his ass.
That's true. All right, let's go into a slightly lower tier of free agents now. And we have a report that just came out from... Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
About the Kings and Harrison Barnes. They are working toward an agreement in the four-year, $88 million range. So I guess we can take him off the board.
Wait, who has that?
Carmichael Dave, who is a Sacramento guy.
Oh, no. That's $22 million a year.
Yeah, I'm sure it would start... I would hope it will start lower, so probably closer to 20, and then work your way up, but...
Yeah, but that's not great. Mm-mm. So let's just be clear. You and I agreed that the Kings dodged a bullet when Harrison Barnes opted out.
Yep.
And now they're basically stepping in... in front of that bullet and telling the person holding the gun, hey, fire three more rounds.
That's unreal. I mean, you knew it was coming. It's just, man, good job, Kings. Good, like, you knew the Sacramento Kings having $63 billion of cap space was not going to end well for them. They still, I mean, they probably will still have close to $40 million. So,
yeah. Well, okay, so 2016 summer duplicate confirmed so far.
Yep, it's already, yep. I mean, you knew it was coming. So yeah, I mean, this next tier of guys, I think, is really where the overpays might happen. And let's start
Now, because they're going to use Barnes as an example. Yeah.
Right. So let's start with Julius Randle.
Oh, Max.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not saying he's worth it, but he's better than Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
He's significantly better than Harrison Barnes. He's going to point towards that contract and go, hey, you know, Harry B. just got 22. I want 25. I want a max.
And he's still in the, I want to say, when did he get drafted? 2015? 14? 14. So
14. Seven, I think he was the seventh pick in 2014.
Yeah, so he's only gotten 5 years, so he's only eligible for the $27.25 million max. Oh, God. I would not want to be the team that gives Julius Randle a max. It's going to be the Knicks.
It could be. I kind of like him in Dallas, if we disregard the contractual element right now.
Would you see him as a small ball center and Kristaps as the four?
No. Because here's the thing about Kristaps, right? And this is something I want to raise as well, like a point.
Mm-hmm.
Kristaps has not played in almost 2 years.
Right.
2 years. I mean, just off of that, I'm actually pretty nervous about his no-nonsense max. I know that he's getting it, and I know we've been kind of going, oh, of course he's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that I think about it, this is a dude who is 7'3", who just went through an ACL tear. Like, granted, ACL tears are not as bad as they used to be,
mm-hmm.
but that's still on a 7'3" frame.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't played in almost 2 years. First and foremost, I'm just like, that max, that shouldn't be an automatic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let that slide. Having an ACL tear also means you don't necessarily maintain your athleticism. Some do, like Zach LaVine. Some don't, like Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
So you just don't know in terms of his switchability. And if he's matched up against fours, who are just so much more versatile,
mm-hmm.
oh man, he could get burned so bad. So I would like... Yeah, so if Randle comes on board, Randle the four, you know, Porzingis at the five, and then Luka everywhere else.
Yeah. I think it
really doesn't matter where you play Luka.
I feel like there are going to be better fits for the for Randle. The one I wanted to talk to you about is the Chicago Bulls, because I've seen them linked to him a couple times, and that one, for your sake and for all Bulls fans' sake, I really hope it's just them saying to his agent, yeah, sure, you can use us as leverage, but like they have Markkanen and Wendell Carter. Why would you spend all of your cap space on Julius Randle?
And even, you know, an even better question is, why would Julius Randle and his agency think that the Bulls would be the best team to use as leverage, fully knowing that they have Markkanen and Carter Jr. on the roster?
Right. Well, I mean, I think a lot of agents are just doing this right now, where they're, you know, just trying to say, like, oh, we have six teams interested, so all you have to bid each other up, and if the Bulls are okay being one of those, quote-unquote, one of the teams in on him, then that theoretically forces the other teams. But yeah, I would think the other teams could also look at their roster and say,
BS.
Right, the Bulls aren't going to spend $20 million on Julius Randle. That's ridiculous.
Though, they did spend $20 million on Jabari Parker last year, who was also very much clearly a four.
Right, right. So, who knows? But I'm hoping
that's... No, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. I could see him just going to New York and putting up like a... He'll put up Kevin Love numbers, Kevin Love Minnesota numbers for a couple of years, be on a terrible team. That'll be great. But
I would actually watch that because I really like Julius Randle.
I do too. He's a good player. I hope he latches on somewhere competitive. I just don't know where it's going to be.
Yeah. My God, I still can't get over the 4-year, $88 million for Barnes. I'm sorry. This is just stuck in my mind. That's... And
Mark Stein just confirmed it, so... He said they intend to offer a 4-year deal worth nearly $90 million when free agency opens Sunday at 6 p.m.
Oh, Kangs.
It's just, you knew it was coming. Now the question is, do they trade for Wiggins as well?
Every ounce of goodwill that the Kings earned this season would just go immediately out the door. Oh, man,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The thing, I really didn't hate the idea of adding Wiggins, because like putting him on a fun, athletic, young, super fast team, maybe that, where he doesn't need to be the number one scoring option, but God, good Lord. Like, who are they competing with for Harrison Barnes? Who's offering $90 million to Harrison Barnes this summer, aside from the Knicks?
Well, that's, there you have it. That's one team, and like you always say, and what I always say, it only takes one team.
Right, but like, just let him walk. Fine. Yeah,
but it's the Kangs.
I know.
The Kangs are back.
Yeah.
We had a fun year where we kind of banned the Kangs and went Kings. Now it's back to the Kangs.
Right. Well, I mean, because they knew they traded for him, but they didn't even give up that much. They gave up Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's illogical. It's completely illogical. The trade itself should be an indicator of his value. And they But I mean, look, this is Vlade and Peja and Vivek in a room just throwing up stuff on the wall.
Yeah. I understand the Sixers having to overpay Tobias because they have no other option and they gave up effectively 3 first round picks for him.
And Tobias is good.
Right, you gave up Justin Jackson.
Right.
And Zach Randolph's expiring contract for Harrison Barnes. If he's going to get $20+ million elsewhere, okay, that's fine. Let him walk. I have to revise this stupid Kings column now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. They're the worst.
You know what I'm, by the way, what I'm really, really amazed at? That teams are talking. That's illegal, man.
Oh, hey.
Like, how is this happening? I mean...
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm truly shocked. God, that's gross. All right. Yeah. Let's move on from... Nikola Mirotic.
No idea. Like, literally no idea. But I will say this. If the Jimmy Butler situation with Houston materializes... And it ends, and the Sixers end up having $38.5 million in cap space, and they decide to go the route of debt. Hello, Nico Mirotic.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that. The Jazz stand out to me as the one where it could be really interesting.
Agreed.
after the Conley trade, they have basically no cap space. So that what would need to happen, Derek Favors has $16.9 million all non-guaranteed right now. I think the guarantee date is July 6th. So they are basically probably going to spend the moratorium shopping around for a stretch four. If they find one who's willing to take their money, they trade or just waive Favors. And Nico, I mean, you could have a starting five next year of Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Ingles, Nico, Gobert.
Yeah.
That's a finals contender.
I think it is. You finally get the offensive injection that you needed. Yeah.
Yeah. And you still got, I mean, Conley and really Nico's the only not above average defender on that in that starting five.
And Nico is not a bad defender. Like, right. He's given the rep for it, but he's really not. I mean, he's a very versatile defender. He's not a steady defender. Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Beverley. There, a report came out yesterday from ESPN's Tim McMahon that he's searching for a 3-year deal worth at least $40 million.
Mm.
Are the Bulls on him?
Off of name, yes, they are.
And they Chicago. They need they need someone for the and from Chicago.
Yeah, apparently they do. Oh god. Well, I think they should be in on him if the price was right. The price is not right at $40 million over 3 years. The price is right if it's like a 2-year deal for $18 million.
Yeah.
This is just like no. It makes no sense. They just drafted Kobe White. They still have Chris Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably gonna retain Ryan Arcidiacono as well. Like to pay $40 million for 3 years of Pat Bev, who's like 30 or 31.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. I think the only thing that made me happy about that report was that I assume this is across fan bases, but I know a lot of Sixers people thought, like, oh, we can go get Pat Bev with the mid-level. And I was always like, Pat Beverley is going to get much more than the mid-level exception this year.
Correct.
It's just he's in that next tier down where once the top guys come off, he's right there and someone's going to give him at least $12 to $15 million a year.
Oh, can I just... I'm just reading a tweet here from Kellen Olsen. he I think he runs Suns, the SB Nation Sun section.
Mm-hmm.
Nice thing for Oubre to see.
In terms of the Harrison Barnes
contract.
Oh, God.
He's not wrong. That's a pretty damn good point.
Yeah.
Like, Kelly Oubre is going to look at that contract and go... Yeah, I definitely should get, like, at the very least, $15 million a year.
Yeah.
Good, I saw a couple Bulls guys argue, hey, should the Bulls go after Kelly Oubre? You know, offer him maybe $10 million a year? I was just like, no, he's getting much more.
And Suns now would snap match that.
Yeah.
That's the problem with restricted free agents. It's, you know, I know people with Brogdon, too, thought, like, oh, yeah, you can get him for $12, $15 million a year. No, you need to bid him up to at least 20. I mean, you know, Zach Lowe and others have reported the Bucks do have a walk-away price, but it's not in the low teens.
No, because then if it's a bargain for you, then it's very much a bargain for the original team, of course.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Danny Green, I feel like it comes down to whether Kawhi stays or goes.
He's just going to follow Kawhi.
Yeah, well, there's just no reason for the Raptors to re-sign him. Like, if Kawhi leaves, I think they start looking to tear the thing down.
Yeah, but I actually wasn't kidding. I think Green would follow Kawhi to LA because, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's at that stage of his career where he might take a significant discount.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
But you're right. I mean, if Kawhi leaves and, you know, somehow... You know, Toronto wants to retain Danny. I don't think so. I think they will let him walk.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then they probably could put together an offer that makes sense. I don't know his value right now in terms of what he wants to do. Like, if he wants to go all in on another ring and he wants to go ring chase, whatever.
Right.
I mean, I think I could see him take something as low as, like, $7 million
a year. Yeah.
But, I mean, if he wants to cash in, he could get significantly more.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him thrown around as another guy, a potential mid-level target, and he strikes me as someone who could earn more, but as you said, it really depends on the team context. Right. So, yeah, like, maybe he settles for the non-tax MLE on a ready-made contender, but I mean, if he's going to a team with cap space, he's probably getting closer to 12 to 15.
I was just about to say, I could totally see him sign for like a 2-year 24 or 25.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's right in line with what Redick got this past year. That seems about right to me.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bojan Bogdanović, who I feel like is probably the best free agent who's flying completely under the radar at the moment.
Who also now just noticed the Harrison Barnes contract.
Yeah.
And said, I'm better.
Right. Oh my God. I would not want to pay Bogdanović that kind of money.
No, this is just about the arguments that these players can make now. Yeah,
I know. Oh, man. How many... Yeah, every agent of a wing is praising the Kings right now, and every team is cursing them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. There are, like, 17 agents right now after seeing that tweet that just got an erection.
Right. Exactly. They're like, all right, my commission just went up. That's great. I mean, I think it would make a lot of sense for the Pacers to retain him. He only has a $13.65 million cap hold, so the Pacers can get up to about $33 million in space. So if they want to pursue a max free agent, whoever it may be, a Tobias Harris or a Chris Middleton or whoever, they would have to let Bogdanović go. But I think it makes more sense. They've been tied to Rubio, apparently. So it makes a lot of sense to spend, you know, you'll have $20 million in space. I doubt Rubio takes all of that. I hope. For their sake, I hope Rubio does not take all of that. So, you know, bring in Rubio, who I don't really... Do you like that fit conceptually? Next to Oladipo?
I wouldn't hate it. I mean, Depo is one of those guys who can play with everyone, right?
Yeah, I just think you need more shooting.
Yeah, but isn't that always the issue with Indiana regardless?
Well, it's the issue with Rubio regardless.
Yeah, but like, I mean, even if they bring in shooters, like they signed Doug McDermott, right?
Right.
They had Bogdanović as well, and they were consistently low in the lower end of attempted three pointers.
Right, low volume.
Like they have the weapons, they just don't utilize them.
Yeah, but I mean, you had Darren Collison, who I think 2 years ago led the league in 3-point field goal percentage.
Yeah, but that's kind of a false stat because he was very selective and wide freaking open.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, because they're going to need, especially if Depot's out for the beginning of the year, they're going to need someone to orchestrate the offense, but I just don't think it really addresses really any of their major concerns from this past year, where they, you know, they didn't have, once Depot went down, they didn't have a guy they could turn to really take over, and I know that's been your beef with Miles Turner for a while, but I don't think... Even if they re-sign Bogdanović, they're still not really going to have that guy. I don't think you find that guy with less than $20 million or probably $10 million once you get Rubio in the door. But I just think I think Indiana probably knows the value of Bogdanović. But smart teams should be sniffing around. Like, if the Sixers lost Jimmy Butler in this sign-in trade or whatever, if he just walks somewhere, he's one of the first guys I call.
Yeah, makes sense. By the way, Julius Randle in Indiana, how does that sound?
Their front court isn't crowded enough already?
Well, I mean, obviously you would make some moves.
Yeah. I don't know, because you just brought in TJ Warren, too.
Yeah, I mean, sure, he's more of a four today, but he can still play the three.
Yeah.
I just kind of like the versatility because you get additional playmaking from the four spot.
That's fair. I wouldn't hate that. He's starting to have a three-point shot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think Thad Young is looking elsewhere for employment this summer.
Yeah, I like Thad absolutely, but I mean, it's just like he's older. He's not really a difference maker. I think the Pacers just need something. I think they just need more. They're a fine defensive squad, but like offensively, they're extremely dull.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're very predictable.
Yeah. Sam Amick just tweeted, the Kings had great confidence when they traded for Barnes that they could re-sign him on a deal like this. All signs so far point to taking that place.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep interjecting with Kings roasting. I'm sorry, Kings fans, but you know this is coming.
Yeah.
JJ Redick.
Oh. So he had a weird couple of seasons, right? He had the $23 million a year ago,
yep.
and then or 2 years ago. And then yep. last year he signed for a one-year $12 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So the Sixers now have his early bird rights, which means correct. They can go up to, I believe, 175% of what he earns. So somewhere right. around like $21 million is where they max out.
Yeah. So look. He just got $35 million for 2 years. And he's, what, 34?
Yeah, either 33 or 34, somewhere in there.
All right. Maybe that's where you talk to him and go, hey, we just paid you $35 million over the course of two seasons.
Right.
We're still okay. We still want you to be a part of this franchise. We have all these guys. You've just had a podcast with Zach Lowe where you actually yourself admitted that a lot of players in the league were drastically overpaid. We're yep. definitely going to use that.
Yeah.
Maybe come back for a more reasonable number.
Yeah. But, and I'm wrong. He just turned 35 on June 24th.
Oh, that's an even better argument there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Sixers should recognize his value. I think, look, every team in the league is going to go after a guy like Redick, even though
right.
the defensive concerns are there. But you're telling me a Lakers team in badly in need of shooting is not going to go after a J.J. Redick? Like, the Sixers will have competition for him, but if they do this run-it-back plan, they're bringing back Redick, too. He's so critical to really making their offense work. I mean, just the degree of difficulty on his shots, I think, goes somewhat unrecognized until the playoffs. But it's like him and Kyle Korver are really the two guys who just they always seem like they're off balance. Like they come flying around the screen and they shoot, and their momentum continues to carry them as they're shooting. Yet they somehow hit these shots.
Yeah,
it's remarkable. I mean. All of these, he's had a couple where he's literally like flying out of balance and still jacks up a shot and hits it. And the Sixers really, really need that, regardless of whether Jimmy and Tobias stay, just since Ben Simmons is a reluctant shooter, doesn't take any threes, and Joel Embiid takes them, but he's not a great 3-point shooter. They need that threat. So I think Redick probably stays on a 2 or 3 year deal. At this point, I think he just wants the stability. And the good thing about early bird rights is the deals have to be for 2 years. So, or at least 2 years. So the Sixers, unless they bump him down, they can like go down and go to a non-bird deal and still do only one. But I think they want to lock him up for...
Yeah, but you can do a 2 year deal where the second year is only partially guaranteed though, right?
I would have to double check.
I'm pretty sure you can't do a plus one or one plus one.
Right.
Because with a team option, because effectively 2 1-year contracts.
Right.
But the league more or less stopped using, team options. Mm-hmm. To some extent. And just basically replaced it with non-guaranteed years or partially guaranteed years. I would imagine that counts.
I would think so, but I'm not 100% sure. I just know all it right. needs to be at least 2 years.
Right.
But either way, I don't think they're going to want to... If they do run it back, they're not going to want to waive them next year.
No, but I'm just saying, like, there are, opportunities in which you can maybe overpay him in that sense.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know how he holds up.
Right.
I mean, that's he's fair. 35, for crying out loud. Like, so far, he's done very, very well in his 30s. I mean, he's played over 70 games.
Yeah,
every year,
a career high in points this past year,
as well. Yeah, and the year before that as well. Right. With the Sixers, he's been outstanding. So I'm not, arguing against him. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the age does concern me in terms of his longevity.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. All right. Who else? Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah,
I feel like he goes back to the Grizzlies, but. I don't know.
I don't know either. I hope he does. I think he's good. But this dude can go so many different places. He's also a candidate, I suppose, for the Knicks or sorry, for the Kings.
Right.
or the Knicks for that matter. I mean,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, he basically just averaged 20 and 11 in 28 minutes a game.
Right.
I mean, I understand that this was on a bad Memphis team, and it was just him basically being force fed.
Yeah.
But he did it efficiently, and you know how insanely skillful he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the right team can squeeze way more out of him.
Oh, for sure.
I just don't know who that team is, and I don't know, in terms of the monetary situation, what he's looking for. Like, he declined his option that was about 17 point something.
Yeah, 17.6, I want to say.
Yeah, I want to say the same number.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, at the very least, he's looking at, like, 22, 23, like, at a minimum.
Yeah, that's where I get a little nervous.
But... yeah, I do, too. But the fact that he's only 27 means that he's kind of in the same situation as Brogdon.
Right.
If he signs a four-year deal, like, that team will get him in the damn middle of his prime. Like, the
right.
best effing years you can get out of him.
Yeah.
Which is fair. I mean, that is totally fair. Here's a guy in Jonas and also Malcolm Brogdon going, you know what, I am willing to sell you, which is essentially what this is, my best years. I want to give you my best years for a price.
Right.
And that price has to be significant.
Yeah.
Because I'm good.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
The big concern with him is that he's never played 30 minutes a game.
Yes.
that seems like a minor issue if you're going to commit that type of money to him. But,
right.
You know, in Memphis, I mean, if he re-signs in Memphis and they have Ja Morant, Valanciunas, JJJ, and Brandon Clark now, like, your front court's set. And then your point guard set. Then you just need to fill out the wings, and you have the core of something very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. And in regards to Valanciunas never playing 30 minutes a game, like, you and I talked about this. Like, we feel he's been sort of ignored in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at some point, there's a team out there that should be thinking, oh, here's a guy we can maybe get for... you know, yeah, a pretty steep price, but he's always been utilized in a very limited capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get him in, let's bump up his minutes significantly, and see what he could do. I mean, look, he averaged 22 minutes a game this season if you combine the splits between Toronto and Memphis.
Right.
And he still ended up averaging almost, or over 15.5 points and 8.5 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane production if you go per 36.
Right.
Like he was at over 25 points a game and almost 14 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not saying he can duplicate that necessarily, but, I mean, at the very least, if you can bump up his numbers, like, on a per minute basis to, you know, 22 and 12.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, just the sheer trade possibilities that opens up for?
Yeah.
And, like, you'll get some sucker.
Oh, for sure. It wouldn't shock me, too. I mean, aside from the Kings and the Knicks, I don't know that there's going to be a huge market for him necessarily. So it wouldn't shock me if he actually comes back on a somewhat reasonable deal, like somewhere around what, probably between what Nurkic got last year and what Capella got.
Oh, I mean, then probably more so Capella than Nurkic, I feel
right.
like. Because
right.
otherwise, I don't think he would have turned down the $17.6 million.
Yeah, but I could see, you know, a 460, 470, somewhere in that range.
Well, 460, that's 15 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then the only reason he would turn down that option was solely to get the longevity.
Yeah, which is fair. I mean, I think a lot of these guys probably watch KD and Clay and were like,
yeah.
just get my money now.
I mean, look, if the team out there is able to get Jonas Valanciunas for $15 million a year, I mean, I'm down for that. That's
yeah.
that's great value.
Yeah. We'll see. Let's wrap up with Terry Rozier, because we haven't dumped on the Knicks and the Kings enough today. There was a report that came out the other day that said, basically, that the Knicks do not view Rozier as a huge downgrade from Kyrie Irving, who they were pursuing until he very clearly is going to sign with the Nets.
Well,
it's one way to spend your $70
million. Sure. I mean, statistically, he's nothing like Kyrie whatsoever.
Right. He had one good playoff run.
Yeah. I mean, the hope is that that if you're Terry Rozier, you're a great teammate. That's where you differentiate.
But I mean, he's already come out and said, I mean, he's thrown Kyrie under the bus. He like went on First Take or whatever. It was like,
oh right.
He has never shot above 40% from the field in any season.
Right, and he doesn't get to the free throw line whatsoever.
Right. I think there might be some validity to he's better as a starter than as a reserve. At least for whatever reason, he just needs to be in that mentality. He like thinks, you know, it's like the Dennis Schroeder thing where he thinks he's better than he is. And so he can put up numbers on a bad team as a starter.
Yeah.
I don't know that any team should be breaking the bank for Terry Rozier, but I guess we'll see in a couple days.
I mean, even if that's true, even if he is better as a starter, you still have to ask the question, is he good enough?
Right. And I do not think so.
No, I don't either. He cost himself a lot of money, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. If he was a free agent last summer, yeah, I think he actually would have gotten a pretty sizable deal. But I think this past year, I mean, there's still, the Suns are out there, the Knicks are out there. There are teams that need point guards that are dumb. I think he will still get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to be the team that does it.
I was very high on him coming into the draft in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he could really, you know, come into the league and just be this transcendent talent because his ability to get to the rim, at least at Louisville,
yeah,
that was insane. And then in the pros, he was just much less relentless than he was in college. Mm-hmm. And I still think to some extent that he could become better than he is if he refound that mental advantage that he had at Louisville. But yeah, I'm not sure any coach is going to give him that freedom yet.
Yeah.
Or ever, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's a situation of them basically telling him, hey, prove that you can play half-court basketball. And then him just keep failing at it to the point where coaches are just like, well, not going to give you that freedom.
Right, exactly. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up. The thing about this free agent class is that it's much like the draft, where the top 15 or so guys are all very good, and then it drops off very quickly. So there are going to be a lot of overpays this summer. We already have potentially seen it with Harrison Barnes, and I would not expect that to be the last one we see. So barring any major breaking news, this will be our last pod until the start of free agency, but we will be back a lot this coming week. So follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio. Give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are hosted. So check us out on iTunes, subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. It would really help us out. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker. So check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek. I was joined as always by Morten Jensen. Mort, enjoy these last 48 hours of somewhat calm, because a storm is a-brewing.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on Harry B getting $88 million. So, I mean, I'm always begging for just $1
million. Right.
I think I just improved my argument here.
I'm going to go revise this Kings column where I plead for them not to do something stupid.
Too late.
Right. Now it will be, please don't do too many other dumb things.
Yeah. Well, I don't have high hopes for that after this.
Neither do I. So yeah, right. We'll be back early next week to summarize the big early splashes.
Oh, that means this is our final episode in season 4.
Yeah, that is true.
Wow. I mean, since we're starting season 5, Brian, we almost need at that point to do something else. Like in terms of the pod, we need to have a presentation.
Yeah, you could get your pitch meeting ready.
Yeah, I think so. All right, take care, buddy.
Later.